This is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. I'm Michael Tetlow. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike, and the wonderful Sabrina Hahn is here to answer all of your curly questions. Hi, Sab.
Tets, I've never seen you going off, but I did love the six-shooter coming from the producer's box.
I know, they were quick off the mark, weren't they?
Oh, you weren't going to get away with
I know, but I think Anna's right. It's because I see the flaw in myself. I see the flaw in myself and I don't like it.
I reckon it's better to text to say you're running late than just not turn up.
Yeah, than just not turn up.
Everyone thinks
That's true.
And you go, surprise.
Surprise, I'm here. Yeah, no, you're on the money there, Sabby. Absolutely. I'm glad you're here. You've been off for a couple of weeks. We had the fantastic Mark Tuchek here. But
yes.
It's nice to see you back.
Traipsing around Tasmania, looking at beautiful gardens.
Yeah.
Got back on Thursday night. Had the book launch on Friday. Quite refreshed. Had a lot of the ABC there.
Yes. Now, I hear the book launch went incredibly well. Yeah. And I'm very, here we go, Etiquette by Tets.
Yep.
I wasn't there.
It's quite all right.
And I'm very, very sorry.
Tets, it's all right. Everyone has a life. Don't expect people.
Well, I don't really, to be honest.
I hope your family is
not. No, actually, Friday night's BMX night.
Oh, okay.
And it's all my son's BMX racing night. I should have let you know. I'm sorry, but I hear
Doesn't matter.
I hear it was amazing.
It was fantastic. We had a big crowd because, of course, the Fremantle Arts Centre has the bazaar on, the Christmas bazaar, all homemade stuff. So that was exciting as well. And I got to meet so many of our listeners turned up to buy my book.
Fantastic.
So I got to meet them face to face and that was lovely. It's always nice to meet the people that listen to you, isn't it?
It is. And I think what hooked them in, Sabrina, was the cover. It was the cover shot.
On the other side of the modesty head.
That's right.
I call it. Yep. Well, it certainly sticks out from other gardening books in a bookstore.
It does. You've got to grab the attention somehow. On the text line, Margaret says, Tets, you're sounding like a grumpy old man.
Oh, no. You will never sound like a grumpy old man.
Well, I did a bit.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Now, Sabrina, we've had a bit of rain this week.
Yeah.
It's not hot. I mean, how does this affect things and what we should be doing at the moment?
Well, they're quite liking the cool entry into summer. And I think most of the gardeners going, well, this is okay. I'm liking this. I'll put on leaves. I'll still be green. I won't be stressed yet. So the gardens are looking sensational. My lawn, I was looking at my lawn from my neighbour's place because we like to have a look at our gardens from the other side because we'll drink in one another's places.
Right.
To view the gardens on the other side. And it looked like it was almost iridescent green, but it hasn't been fertilised in probably 4 years.
Wow.
So because we've got humidity and it's not really, really hot and the nights are really nice, I think all the plants are just going whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
They're loving it.
Yeah.
It's a great time. I spent all Sunday in the garden, couldn't walk Monday morning. You know, the thing about getting older is you can't garden solidly for 8 hours without stopping. Well, you can.
You can, but it's a little painful the next day.
Very painful the next day, Tets.
Yeah. Oh, Sabrina. Now, it's 25 past two.
Yes.
We've got quite a lot of text messages coming in. We will open the phone lines at 1:30 as always.
Yes. I think we should do some text.
Yeah, I think so. I wanted to especially mention Beth from Dawesville because
she is
champing at the bit. 12:51 she sent this
12:51
message through. Yeah, so I thought, well, we must go to Beth's question. This is good afternoon, Sabrina and Michael. Last year, ants ate through the roots of my young lemon tree and killed it.
Oh.
Now I notice them around the roots of my apricot tree and the young mallee trees. Please help with any advice to sort this out.
Well, I don't know. Like, black ants can't eat root systems.
Right.
So I don't know if Beth means termites.
Okay.
So if it's termites, which people call white ants, You have to get a specialist in to treat that. That's the big kahuna. If it's black ants, then your soil, because you live in Dawesville, Beth, your soil is too wet, too dry. So you need to get clay and you need to get a wetting agent and you need to dig the clay in around the soil where the mallees and the apricot tree is, get a wetting agent and thoroughly soak it. So the ants have just got too many tunnels because the soil is too dry.
Okay. Alicia's texted in from Lower Chittering. She says, "Hey, Sabby, thank you for the opportunity to buy a book with a cheeky title and a nude lady on the cover for my husband's wedding anniversary present.
Ah!
Oh, my goodness. Looking forward to perusing it together.
Oh.
As we try to tame 10 acres of weeds."
Ah, well, it'll tell you how to control weeds without using herbicides, but it's not called How to Do It in the Garden for Nothing, Tim.
Right, okay.
You know, it's how to do everything in the garden, including pulling weeds.
Yes, good, because all these things need to be done. Okay, on the text line, Bridget sent through a photo. What is eating my cottonwood hibiscus?
Wow.
It is really aggressive. What is the remedy? I live in Doubleview. And I'm hoping to plant it into my garden bed.
Okay. So for people that can't see that, there's really just 1/8 of a leaf left because the rest has been completely chewed off.
It has.
So the culprit on that are those big grasshoppers.
Right.
Because they come through and then they eat and run. So you probably never see them. But that's just demolished.
It has.
Demolished the leaves. Now, Bridget, it's really, really hard to control grasshoppers, particularly those big ones that are the size of a small corgi. So give it liquid fertilizer to encourage new growth. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. And grasshoppers move on quite quickly. If you see them on there, they're pretty dopey.
Right.
So especially in the morning. So if you go out in the morning and in the afternoon, you'll probably see them on the hibiscus. You go up behind them with your secateurs. You either cut them in half or if you're really good with secateurs, you just cut their head off.
Right. Okay.
And then, you know.
That one.
Don't eat anymore.
Yeah. That one came Sabrina from Nicole on behalf of her daughter, Bridget. Okay. Have a look at this one, Sabby.
Ooh.
There's a photo of my Sag.
Marianthus.
Ringans. Planted about 3 months ago from a tube. It's not happy. You've got two others that are going well. This one's in the morning sun, says Sarah in Kalamunda.
Well, morning sun's okay, but Marianthus are actually really tough. So I reckon that's probably going to die. I shouldn't have said that because it's just pre-Christmas. Look, don't dig it up. Don't move it. I would give it a very light trim. And then I would give it a bit of a seaweed solution drenching, but do not fertilize it because anything could happen there.
Yeah, okay.
Not too much for it.
Yeah.
Too much of a party.
Yeah, all right. Kate's texted in. She says, "Look, Tets, about the hurrying up, about the car spot you want. Yeah. I often take a couple of minutes once I get into my car to reply to messages, set up my mats, my podcast. I make it a point not to touch my phone while driving. So you can wait a couple of minutes for me to set up before taking off."
You know what I see, what annoys me, is where you see people putting their makeup on as they're driving.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty
it's impressive.
It's clever. Do you do that, Tets?
Put my makeup on while driving. Well, only on my on the TV shift. I feel Carrie Cox has got something to say here.
Oh, nothing. Innocent.
Yeah, never do that. Don't eat your cornflakes at the lights or anything like that.
Let's be honest. I was the one who gave you that. That's my favourite. My pet peeve is people going slow when you know they're waiting for that spot.
Mm. Yeah, well, Kate says
they're
you can wait.
Well, Kate, let's hope we never meet in a car park.
Waiting. And look, she was trying to get through before when the entire production team was here in the studio. Rhonda, hello. Welcome to the afternoon show.
Oh, hello, Ted. Sabrina, I really want to ask you a question about rats and fruit trees. I live at Mount Lawley. Do you have a problem in your garden?
Absolutely. I think anyone that lives in the city does.
Okay. I have a great rescue dog, Rockstar, Rocky.
Yeah.
He's just murdered a rat. Great. He's been hunting it for
Fabulous.
4 weeks. His first week here, he killed 4 rats. He's a great...
You should hire him out.
He works from 5 a.m. till 10:30 at night, mate. He's great.
I want him.
Yeah, well, I'm offering his services. So if you want to invite me over for a coffee, I'll bring my dog. As long as you lock up your animals,
I don't have any.
He's great with babies. Great with babies and children.
No, I don't have any of them.
But he'll kill any animal.
Don't have any of them. And
he
can kill as many rats as he wants.
He'll love it. So I'll leave my phone number with the desk and give me a hoy.
Yep, will do.
Cheers, Sabrina.
Thanks, Rhonda.
No workers. Bye-bye.
Oh, good on you, Sabrina. Rhonda.
No,
you're Sabrina.
Rhonda
in Mount Lawley. Goodness me. All right. The calls are banking up here, Sabrina. Anthony's in. I'm not sure where Anthony is. Hello, Anthony.
Hi, Sabrina. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Where are you, Anthony?
Well, I'm actually heading into a shopping centre.
Oh, no, but I mean, where do you live?
All right, so Forestdale.
Okay, yep, cool.
I've got a lemon tree.
Yeah.
I've actually just done some pruning. I'm not sure if I've done the right thing. So the branches are actually bent over that much. They're heading back down towards the ground. It's only happened in about the last 5 months.
Yep.
I've had the tree about 10 years, and it's been fine up until 5 months ago.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure when's the best time to prune it and how much to prune it or whether I've done the right thing by pruning it.
Yep, no, you've done the right thing because if you don't prune it, the branches snap off, Anthony.
Yes.
And then you're in trouble. So you've done the right thing.
Okay, so any time's good, just when it happens.
For lemon trees, honestly, the only time I would say do not prune is January, February.
Right. Okay.
Yep. Awesome. So you've done the right thing. You're allowed to have the afternoon off.
Jeff is in Geraldton. G'day, Jeff.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good, Jeff.
Hey, listen, I used to talk to you, Sabrina, when I lived in downtown Laverton.
Yeah?
I used to call you when I was down the grader.
Aww.
And ask you about different
things.
Veggie problems.
Yeah.
But anyway, I now live in Jarrow.
Yeah.
The Windy City.
Yeah.
Now, the property's basically right on the Chapman River.
Right.
Now, I just built a greenhouse and I'm digging down in the soil.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that the soil here is sedimentary from the Chapman River.
Yes.
Possibly millions of days old.
Yeah, I would say so.
It's a real fine clay type soil.
Yep.
And very fine.
Yep.
Now, when the veggies... Well, I've sort of dug down to it, but I fill all the trenches in with compost and everything like that.
Yeah.
When the veggies hit that clay base.
Yes.
How do you think they'll travel?
I would add a bit of gypsum in with that if I were you, Jeff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it depends on the clay. If the clay is really negatively charged and sticks together, then the root systems may not get through. But if you can dig in a bit of gypsum, that will definitely help.
How deep do you think?
Well, it depends how deep your clay is. I mean, essentially it'll filter down, but you'd need to dig it in. Or if you can dig in 30 centimetres, then that's ideal.
Well, I got a post-hole digger and I dug down with the post-hole digger about a metre.
Ah! Land sakes. You should be pretty right, I reckon, Jeff, because most veggies only need 30 centimetres of soil.
Right.
So you should be pretty right.
So I've got all the summer crops in.
Yep.
Rhubarb. Now, tell me about rhubarb for a second. I'll let you go.
Okay. So in Jero, you would need to grow your rhubarb in afternoon shade because the leaves are so big they will just wilt. And it puts stress on them. So morning sun is great. They need lots of water in summer because of that big leaf mass. And you've got to use sulfate of potash to get the long stems.
Okay. Because the greenhouse is actually in veggie shade cloth.
Ah, perfect. All righty. Yeah. You're laughing.
So as things go, I suppose this will be the first because I've only been here a while.
Yep.
First year trial, but if the clay base is what you say, just add some gypsum, yeah?
Yep. That's the go, Jeff. The go.
Good on you, Jeff. Thanks for calling in. Hello, Fionn.
Oh, hey.
Hi. What's your question for Sabrina?
Hey, we're in Vivash. We're lucky enough to just put in a pool, but you can imagine that we lost a few trees.
Yeah.
And I'd like to re-establish them. They weren't anything fantastic, they're just conifers and things.
Yep.
But I'm looking for a decent shade tree, but it's going to be slightly close to the house, so I don't want it to be...
For the root system to...
Yeah, and obviously deciduous. Husband is concerned about leaves of the pool, but I think it's an honour to have a pool, so I'm happy to get the leaves out.
Absolutely. Well, you know what people don't realise about deciduous trees or evergreen trees is deciduous trees will dump just for 2 months of the year and then it's all over and done with. Evergreens drop leaves all year round because they have to produce new leaves. So either way, and usually in winter you have a pool cover anyway. But you may want the sun to come through in the winter time. So in terms...
Well, west side of our house, it's a real shocker. Like we get not much shade there. So
okay.
It's one of those things where I've been desperate to get something there to help out the house a bit.
Yep. Okie dokie. So you want something that's a fairly large tree. In terms of bigger deciduous trees and you're near a pool, so you've got the, that's going to be too big. I just thought of a tree that could be marvellous, but actually it's going to be too big. So
giant.
There is a lovely, do you want it like 5 or 6 metres?
Yeah, I think so. Something that's maybe around 3-ish. I was imagining.
There is two Cercis, C-E-R-C-I-S. One is called Forest Pansy. The other one is called Oklahoma. And then there's the ornamental pears. So the one called Natchez, which is the white flowering, not ornamental pear, sorry, the crepe myrtle, the ornamental crepe myrtle. So there's one called Natchez. Yeah, and they're a beautiful tree and they do really well in Perth.
Okay, and are they the pink flower or the white?
But you can get them in pink and you can get them in white.
Oh, nice. Okay, because I was wondering if the crepe myrtle wouldn't be like, because some places I've read that they only get to about 4 metres and other places.
No, no, there's about 25 different crepe myrtles you can get.
Okay, I'll have a look at that.
Yeah, so have a look at them and I think that would be the tree for you.
Oh, awesome. Love trees. Thank you.
Good on you, Fionn. Thank you so much for calling in. Alan's been on the text line, Sabrina. He's very keen to know. He's got a picture of a plant. It's wild growth in his chook pen. Wants to know, is this a friend or a foe?
Well, it's hard to tell because it's just a big bunch of leaves, but it looks to me like a weed. But if it's in the chook pen, the chooks will eat it. So... I'd leave it in and let the chooks go for it. Don't forget the birds can eat toxic plants. They can eat poisonous berries. It's not going to knock your chookens off. But
pretty tough things, aren't they? So.
Yeah, they are. But it's a bit small for me to know what... It looks like a whole pile of seedlings. Seeds been dropped and then it's all come up in the one spot. Let the chooks have it.
Yeah, let them sort it out.
Yep.
Hello, Kai. Oh, hang on. Stand by, Kai. I'll get you back on there in just a moment. Kai, hello.
Hello.
G'day, Kai. What's your question for Sabrina?
Hey, how you going, guys? I've just done a couple of big raised garden veggie patches down here.
Yeah.
I've done probably one quarter full of old jarrah limbs and stuff for cheating to fill it.
Yeah.
Then I've done about half of just plain sand for drainage. But on the top, I've put, like, peat just to retain moisture. But the plant, I don't know, I'm thinking it's out of its pH zone. So I was just wondering what I could do to adjust it.
Okay, so you've checked the pH with you need to check it with a pH soil testing kit, Kai. That is really important because some peat is really acid and some peat is really alkaline. So you need to know which side of the 6.5. 6.5 is optimum for plant growth. So now if it goes purple, it's alkaline and you need to add sulfur, powdered sulfur. If it's bright lime green, then it's acidic and you need to add dolomite lime.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the lime.
Okay. All right. So dolomite lime, I would get it's a bit more compost in there and just make sure you turn it over.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think getting some carry loam in there would help?
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Definitely, yeah. Definitely. Carry loam is like heaven for plants.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely mix that in if you can get it.
Breena, we've had a text in from one of your very, very loyal fans. His name is Charles. He's from Joondalup. And you helped him out with a magnolia a couple of weeks ago. And he says to me that you you told him to take it out of the black pot, put it in the normal pot. And it's starting to grow nicely, he says.
Oh, Charles, well done.
Yeah, but look, he's wondering about pruning. When should he prune now?
Well, it's not a good idea to prune magnolias now in case we get a 38-degree day because there's still foliage. There's not a lot of foliage at the top. So he can't prune that. So, Charles, don't prune it until March, the end of March.
Yeah.
And then he can prune 30% off.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, look, he's very happy with all the advice that you've given him, Sabrina. So he says thanks, and so many people say thanks. Yeah, Alan says, in case you're unaware, you guys rock. Thank you, Alan.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. All right. And this person says, this is Lynn in Bunbury, says, Sabrina, I've learnt so much from you over the years. Every time someone asks me how I know information about gardening, I tell them Sabrina told me. Oh. Goodness me. Look, she's got a question as well. She's got a Grevillea olivacea. Olivacea grows well in the salt winds where I live, which is in Bunbury. It's not very big or showy. Can you suggest what other Grevillea bush may do well enduring the sea winds with showy flowers?
Okay, I would go for City Lights, Grevillea City Lights. Now, Grevillea olivacea has the flowers on the inside of the bush. Grevillea City Lights has them all on the new growth, on the edges and on the tops of the tips. Showy, oh my Lord, Tits.
Yeah.
It's a show off.
Oh, look out. It's stand by.
Very, very flouncy.
Okay. All right. Good. Lynn, Mitchell in Three Springs. G'day, Mitchell.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good. What's your question, Mitchell, for Sabrina?
How you going? Yeah, long time listener, first time caller here. Oh, so yeah,
we love you already, Mitch. We love you already.
Deadly. Hey, now I've got some tomatoes there, and I've planted them, and I seen a thing that you can if you plant a tomato on his side with a bit of his stem in the ground, you'll get a stronger root base. Is that right?
You can plant them on their side, but what's even better, Mitchell, is to actually mound the soil up around the stem rather than plant it on its side. And they make these little anchor roots, and those anchor roots help feed the plant. So, but you don't do it straight away. You've got to wait for the tomato to start growing, and then you pinch off all the lower stems and you mound the soil up around them.
All right, no worries.
Around
that
the lower bit.
Good. Yep.
Yep.
Wicked.
Yep. And
I'll get onto it.
And because you're in Three Springs, I'll give you another tip. If you're growing watermelons, you can actually graft your tomato on a watermelon plant.
Is that right?
Yep.
How come we can do it in Three Springs? Are we special?
You're very special in Three Springs, and I like to give you extra tips.
Oh, that's very good. Thank you very much. I might try that and get back to you and see how we go.
Beautiful.
Oh, good on you, Mitchell. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to Jen in Quinns. Hello, Jen.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah,
Sabrina, I'm sorry. Look, I forgot to mention this particular thing when I nominated what I wanted to ask about.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got some three big tubs of the beef ox tomatoes in.
Yeah.
And I seem to recall, I grew them a few years ago, and I seem to recall somebody rang in and said, look, add some chelate of iron to them and it strengthens them somehow. Is that true or have I got that all wrong?
No. Well, chelates of iron just is an available form of a trace element for the tomatoes. So things like iron and magnesium are really good for tomatoes. But iron is just one of the elements. So if you use trace elements, you get all of those elements. But chelates of iron will make sure they're nice and green, They're healthy. They'll grow strongly. They're a bit more resistant to disease. So they're right. They're telling you the right thing.
Oh, great. Thank you. So, have I got time to ask a couple of other things?
Yes.
I'm wanting to get, because we've got some other big pots around the place that we want to grow different things in, from veggies to plants, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, instead of, buying the bags of, compost, which might be, or potting mix, I should say, I was thinking about getting a trailer load, which I would imagine would be a lot cheaper.
Yes.
And in the places that I'd mention, I know you're not allowed to mention more, but one was called Piggy Pot.
Yeah.
Mongan Hills.
Yes.
Another is the one from Swan Hill.
Yes.
And there's another one from Mandurah. They're all good age compost.
Yep.
Would they be all right, any one of those, or is one better than the other, as far as mixing it with, existing soil and just adding a couple of bit of blood and bone or something like that to it?
Yeah, well, they're all as good as one another, Jen. And what I would do is you've got to worry about the drainage type thing. So you can mix all those composts if you put it in with sand and coconut fibre, the cocoa peat. Or you can just get cheap potting mix and mix in the compost or any of those other products from all those places that you mentioned.
All right, Jen, thanks for calling in. We've got time for one last call.
Yep.
It's Jan in Bustle and she's waiting on the phone patiently. Hello, Jan.
Oh, hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
No worries.
I wanted to ask Sabrina, I've got a house being built next door and I'd like to screen it a bit, but I have quite a narrow garden bed and then there's a pergola sort of there. So.
Yep.
Something that will grow and screen above the fence.
Yep.
So a small tree that I can keep to 2.5 metres or something.
Yep.
Or a shrub.
Yep. There is an ornamental plum called Oakville Crimson Spire that grows straight up like a church spire.
Oh, nice.
It's deciduous, but it's only leafless for 2 months maximum.
Uh-huh.
Fast growing, beautiful burgundy leaves, pretty pink flowers.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Anything else? Because I have got a couple of red flowering gums in the back garden and it might look a bit samey.
There is a callistemon called Slim Jim that grows straight up, and there's a dodonia called Mr. Green Sheen.
Okay.
And that grows straight up as well.
Great. Thanks, Sabrina. Much appreciated.
My pleasure.
We'll give those a go.
Give those a crack.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lovely.
Good on you, Jan. Thank you so much for calling in. Sabrina Hahn, it is nearly 3 o'clock. And what this means, it is our last gardening together for the moment.
Oh, for the moment.
For the moment. But look, I reckon we'll do it again at some point, I think. Don't you reckon?
I reckon that is definitely on the cards, Tets.
Yeah, I think so. Because I'll be back in Delhi next year, but I will come back from time to time.
Yeah.
Come and say hello. I'm hoping that it will intersect with you at some point.
Yeah, we're going to drag you in, Tets.
Yeah.
Drag you
in. Now, if you were to leave me, Sabby, with a last thought of what I should do into this season.
Yes.
What would it be?
I want you to go out in the garden just on your own and I want you to sit and listen and look and think happy thoughts.
That is what I will do.
Excellent.
Sabrina, thank you. Mwah. It's been so much fun and I'm going to miss you very, very much.
Me too, but I'll call in and have a look at your garden.
Yeah, do it. Look, we will see each other. Absolutely.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.